Good morning. It is Wednesday, June the 12th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. We've reached midway for this week. So let's refresh our consecration this morning, locating ourselves before the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of God, taking our seats. We're seated in heaven, taking our seats in the throne room, right? We're gathering ourselves up. Move over here to this section. Let's sit together. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Why Micro is the New Mega. Our text is Acts chapter 18, verses 12 through 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews of Corinth made a united attack on Paul and brought him to the place of judgment. This man, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to them, "If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things." So he drove them off. Then the crowd there turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and beat him in front of the proconsul. And Gallio showed no concern whatever. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. In a city of around 100,000 people, Paul had maybe 50 or so converts. This sounds more like a fledgling AA community than it does an impending threat of a religious coup d'etat. 50 in 100,000 strikes me as statistically insignificant. Yet it warranted a united and strategic attack from the Jews of Corinth. In present-day terms, we could understand the attention as if it were some sort of terrorist cell of 50 jihadists. Come on, Jews of Corinth. This is a church, for crying out loud. And it's a pretty small one at that. Where's the threat? But what if a church of 50 in a city of 100,000 was all it took to plant the unstoppable kingdom of God? What if a single family in a neighborhood of 30 families was all it took to plant the unquenchable movement of the Spirit of God? What if all it took were two or three gathered in the name of Jesus to upend the powers of darkness? Maybe the greatest myth that needs busting for the people of God today is the myth of strength in numbers. The Bible tells a diametrically opposite story. Remember Jericho? How about Gideon? Elijah, Daniel, Hannah, Mary, Jesus, the 12, any of this ringing a bell? Maybe the Jews of Corinth remembered. What if we remembered? Perhaps the greatest lesson the 21st century church can learn from the first century church is the power of the micro church. Before we go, though, let's be clear. Being small is not the goal either. There are scores and scores of tiny churches on the slow march of mediocrity, headed to the place where churches go to die. The issue is not large or small. The issue is worship. And no, not music, but worship. In other words, are people repenting from their sin, burning their idols, and giving their real lives over to the risen and ascended Lord of heaven and earth? It's whether the people are about the real Jesus or just playing the religious games of domesticated church. How do you know the difference? People who are about the real Jesus are getting super real about their real lives. It's for another conversation, but notice in the text how the religious establishment tries to bring the government into its service to enforce its rules. We all know where that leads, don't we? It leads to the government bringing the religious establishment into its service to enforce its rule. Some things never change, right? Where is Gallio when we need him? Back to the power of small. If you have a minute today, take a look at a conversation our farm team hosted online about a powerful micro development we are involved with in the mega city of London, England. The link is in today's email, the prayer. Our Father, last week it was plausibility. This week it's numbers. Forgive us for our adventures in missing the point. We want the real thing, the real Jesus, in our hearts and homes, in our churches and cities. Show us how the only thing standing in the way is our sin and our tendency to be seduced by all the things that don't matter. On a personal note, show me how to get super real about my real life in a way leading to real transformation. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. And in that spirit, how about we sing, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen. The journal prompts. Do you tend to judge or assess churches according to their size, putting confidence in bigger numbers while dismissing small numbers? Have you ever thought about your church as the real possibility for change in your town or city? In our hymn today, we're going to sing number 343, Have Thine Own Way. It's a classic. I guess you got to kind of be a classic to even get in the book, don't you? 343, Have Thine Own Way. Four verses, we're going to sing them all. This song is a prayer, of course, but it's a song about getting real with our own real life, I think. Let's sing it in that spirit. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Amen. That's from 1902. Adelaide A. Pollard. Thank you, Adelaide, for putting that prayer to paper and helping us to pray it through song. That last verse, have thine own way, hold o'er my being absolute sway. That's what I want for today in my life. I know that's what you want too. And this is another day ahead of us to go for that. You know, we're not just having a little compartmentalized quiet time here. This is a pregame workout, warm-up. We're getting ready to take the field of play in the kingdom of God, on earth as it is in heaven. That's the playbook. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. You see, we're not also just trying to go out there and be an army of do-gooders, of just trying to, you know, help out around the edges. We're actually witnesses. That's a prayer to be a witness. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. I am crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who has loved me and given himself for me. You know, it takes me back over to the Sower's Creed we jumped into yesterday. I remember that line, because Jesus is good news. And Jesus is in me, I am good news. See, people are encountering, they're meeting up with us, but they're encountering Jesus in us. That's the witness move. And that whole Galatians 2:20 that I just shared, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, right? You know what that means? It means I'm fully alive. It means you're getting not only the real me, but the real Jesus, the false me, the false self, all the image that I've constructed over the years to be who I felt like you needed me to be, or who I wanted to be or aspired to be, or, you know, the someone else other than me, that falls away. That's the process of sanctification, of transformation. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. That's why it doesn't take many. That's why, you know, a little army of 300 with Gideon was enough to defeat the whole army of Midian. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. Christ is shining on you. Let's get these swing thoughts in our minds as we head out today to be his witnesses. I'll see you out there on the field. Grab your seats. For the Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.